Hallelujah. Well, how many of you guys have been coming to the meetings? Wave at me. Okay, awesome. Awesome. We've been having a lot of online viewership, which is incredible. Technology has allowed the church to spread so that people all over the world can watch simultaneously, whether it's day or night, they can watch wherever. And then they can also watch even after the meeting is over with, which is so cool because then you can still get in on the atmosphere, the environment that was in that moment in time. I find myself even watching old videos. How many of you guys watch YouTube a little bit? Sometimes I'll watch like old videos of moves of God. And I do it because I realize that there's no distance in the realm of the Spirit. And because God is timeless, that same move of the Spirit can come upon you. And it can begin to touch you, no matter what year it was, time, or moment in history. Because it's encapsulated doesn't mean that it isn't readily available to us right now. It may be capped in a moment in time, but God can reopen that and give it to you. So if you're watching this, you should share the broadcast, because even if people can't watch right now, they can go back to it and watch it later. Now, this morning, I want to kind of talk about something that is really deep in my heart. I want to share my heart with you, and this isn't going to be a typical Sunday message. Is that okay? Like, I'm just going to talk about some things that are really, over the years, have touched my heart. And kind of made me the way that I am today. You know, the Bible talks about how there was certain people that walked with God. The Bible talks about a guy named Enoch who walked with God for 365 years and suddenly he was taken. The word walk there mean in the Hebrew is a word called halek. Halek does not mean to just, you know, take step forward or backwards or, you know, move side to side. What halek actually means is to go up and down, to and fro, and in and out in God. There is a realm that we can walk in where we can't tell whether we are on the earth or we are in heavenly places. Christians are not called to just live every day without the presence of God. The presence is the most sacred, important thing to every believer. Now, when I say presence, I don't mean a feeling. Because the presence isn't just a feeling that you feel. Sometimes people feel the presence, and it's really interesting, fascinating to me, that people can get tired of feeling the presence. They can say, well, you know, I had a feeling of the presence of God, you know, back in 1975, Brother Charlie. It's when I really felt the presence. But isn't it interesting that people in heaven right now have been feeling the presence from the moment that they got there to this present hour, generations, even eternal, from the moment that the first person left the earth and went into heaven, they've been in the same presence, yet it never is tiresome. That's because the presence is not a feeling. The presence is a person that brings a revelation that you can feast on. And when you start to live out of a revelation of the presence of God, then it never grows tiresome. People ask me, what is your favorite place that you've ever traveled or you ever go? And I always tell them, my favorite place to be is in the presence of God. It doesn't matter what nation, it doesn't matter what location geographically that I'm in. It's that place that's outside time and space that I love the most. Because it's that fellowship that draws the life of God out of our very beings, where we no longer have to live in corruption or decay. We can live in supernatural rejuvenation. And what Jesus told Satan when he was on the backside of a desert for 40 days, being tempted by the demonic realm, still is true today, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, say proceeds, out of the mouth of God. In other words, there is a procession or a leading that the Holy Spirit calls sons and daughters to walk in, and it is a progressive revelation, a never-ending journey into an ever-increasing glory and splendor of the majesty of heaven. And so when we believe that we have it figured out, God will turn it on us, change His image, reveal a different aspect and revelation, and renew our responsibility and renew the responsibility in us that requires us to draw deeper into Him. Man, I feel it this morning. Jeremiah talked about in Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah said, "Who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and perceived His words and heard what He has to say?" The word "stood" there means to constantly and continue to stand steadfast and abide in the presence. Sometimes people live in seasons where they are in the presence, and then somehow they fall out of step with that. And God will cause us and call us, first call us, and then cause us to renew the revelation that He called us to walk into, so that we can interstep with Him and begin to walk in heavenly places. The Bible says that Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. In fact, the Bible says that the Word of God came walking to Adam in the cool of the day. Do you know that the Word of God has legs? The words of God have legs. Revelation has legs that are looking for someone that is hungry for Him. Desperation will cause you to stop everything that you're doing to have another encounter with Him. The disciples on the road to Emmaus were walking with Jesus, yet they could not recognize or perceive Him. Even though He was sharing revelation with them, He came in a different form. Many times what happens to Christians is that they have received an aspect of revelation of Jesus. And when they receive that revelation, they can only see that particular part of His face. But there is a depth of revelation. And just when you think you have Him figured out, He changes forms. Look at your neighbor and say, "He's going to change it up on you." It's not what proceeded out of the mouth that so much matters, but what is proceeding. Because what is proceeding is bringing you into a position for a fresh outpouring of His presence. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I want you to get this morning. We've been talking about time and how people live in capsules of time and never move on from the moments in history that they lived where God touched them. And because they never move on, corruption and decay begin to set in on them. And they begin to be not conquerors of time, but now they become victims of it. Victims of time and wishing that they could go back to the moment that God touched them when the Lord has moved on and He's saying, will you continue to walk with me? And the grace of God is so important because the grace will cause when you turn your heart to Him and you begin to seek after Him, suddenly what will take place is God will release acceleration. And where you thought you were so far behind, God will catch you up. And you'll start to walk with Him again. See, it does take time, in essence, in the natural, to spend with Him, to confine ourselves and say, God, I want a fresh touch from You in the secret place. But at the same time, you reach moments while you're ministering to the Lord that time no longer exists. In fact, how many of you have ever been in the presence of God and suddenly time just vanished completely? And you thought that you had been there for 20 minutes, but you ended up being there for 12 hours. I don't know about you, but I can't live without the presence of God. It's not just saying another, like, oh, I just can't live without the presence. No, no, no. I literally cannot live without the presence of God. I am sustained by the physical Word of God because the physical Word of God literally is the very thing that we can feast on. There was a man by the name of Brother Yun. Has anybody ever heard of Brother Yun? They call him the Heavenly Man. Has anybody ever heard of him? He wrote a book. It's called The Heavenly Man. But before he wrote that book, there was a book that I had read in Bible college. It was called Lilies Amongst Thorns. And it was a testimony of the persecuted church in China. And one of the people that were highlighted in the book was this particular man. And it told the story of Brother Yun and how he had been in prison for 81 days. And they had imprisoned him because of his love for God, his Christian, belief system. And they had found a Bible on him and they'd, you know, taken the Bible from him and thrown him in a dungeon in this cell. And every day they would come and beat him and wouldn't feed him. And for the first 15 days, he went without food, he went without water, and they were trying to kill him. On the 15th day, as he was worshiping God in this cell, Jesus walked through the wall and brought bread and wine to him. And for the next, 70-something days, Jesus walked every single day into his cell and gave him bread and wine. There is a mystery, and dare I say, mystical reality of Christianity that is being revealed in this hour. Where Jeremiah said, I walked among those paths of the unseen and those ancient ways that were from times in the past. There are people who have walked in revelations and realms that the church has long forgotten about. But God is wanting to re-reveal those paths so that we can begin to walk in them in this present hour. Intimacy in the presence of Jesus will cause you to forge new paths and be a pioneer of things that are unseen. Substance is created through intimacy. Manifestation in a person's ministry does not come because they spent a long time in a cemetery, and learned certain principles and theological terms. Manifestation and the unseen substance coming into the earth through a man's ministry can only come through intimacy with Jesus. The more intimate that you are with Jesus Christ and looking at Him face to face, in whatever form that He comes in, whatever form He reveals Himself to you in the mystery of who He is, will be something that you're branded with that you can't get rid of. It's a contagious just atmosphere that when you think that you have figured it all out, Jesus says, now I'm going to turn it and I'm going to show you a different thing, and I'm going to make you want me even more than you wanted me before, because now I'm going to unravel another scroll and you're going to begin to read a mystery that you've never seen. In fact, the book of Colossians, while Paul was writing that book, he used a word in the Greek called mysterion. Mysterion is the word mystery or mystical or mystic. He told the Colossians, he said, Jesus Christ is the mystery or the mystic sacred secret of heaven. It is, man, I want to get this to you today. Maybe I need to come down here. Are you getting hungry this morning? Not for fried chicken, but for Jesus. The mystery of heaven, this sacred secret, this mystical Christ, when you see Him face to face and you commune with Him and fellowship with Him, brings an addiction to your heart to where you have to spend time with Him more than your breath that you breathe. It becomes such a realm where you say, God, I can't spend one more moment in this natural world. I have to turn aside and see the unseen, because that is the real reality in which my spirit was birthed out of. And from that place, that's where I begin to receive fresh life that sustains me to be able to walk in the earth but not be of it. To reveal to people who are looking for God the reality of Christ's face. Paul talked about how he wanted Christ to be formed in the church. He wanted the church not just to be a building or a gathering place, but he wanted the church to take on the form of Jesus. There's a book in the Bible. It's the book of Job. Some people call it the book of Job. But it's the oldest book. It's older than Genesis. And in chapter 4 of Job, most people never read the book of Job, especially people that are heavily grace-oriented, because they feel as though Job is like a book that of sorrows and brokenness and not new creation. But actually, Job has some of the most deepest mysteries of the unseen realm and was written before the law. So Job walked in the revelation not of principles and rules and regulations that were birthed on Mount Sinai, but he lived in the reality of an everyday walk with God. The Bible talks about in Job how he remembered the days when the flame of fire rested over his head and God bathed his steps with oil. Whew. Lord, bathe my steps today. In other words, his steps were so bathed in the presence of God that when he was walking, he would slip into the presence. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and suddenly you just left? Quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Have you ever been talking to someone and suddenly just that whole world and that reality begin to fade and you begin to see in another plane? You begin to see from a higher place? You begin to look at the things which are unseen? The people that are standing there looking at you, they're like, well, he's not here anymore. Some people think that Jesus or the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and I believe that. But you know what I've found about the Holy Spirit is that sometimes he'll rip you out of the place that you're in. He'll seize you with an ecstatic experience. This is what happened to those that were in the 4th and 5th century of the church. That's why they called them the Desert Fathers, because they decided that they would rather have the presence of God than live in this natural world. So they went out into the desert just so that God would seize upon them. They would be caught up into ecstatic revelations. They would see things that were not seen with the naked eye, but were seen from the eyes of the heart. Jesus would begin to come to them in different forms. There's one lady named St. Teresa. Has anybody, St. Teresa of Avila? She wrote a book about the houses of heaven. And she would spend numerous hours with Jesus, so much so that when she was worshiping the Lord, an angel came in with a spear and pierced her heart. And she said, it was as if fire burned in my heart, in my, I couldn't live one day without him. These kinds of intimate times with the Holy Spirit will cause you to realize that reality is much real, more real than the reality of the chair that you're sitting on. Catherine of Siena, has anybody heard of Catherine of Siena? Catherine of Siena, she said that the Lord walked in and took her heart out of her body. And for 3 solid months, she walked around and said, I don't have a heart anymore because God took it. She said, the Lord stole my heart. After 3 months, Jesus walked back into her room as she was worshiping him and put his heart in her heart. St. Teresa said, I have been pierced with a spear out of heaven, and my heart continuously burns for God. When she died and went to heaven, they took her heart out of her body, and there was a physical piercing in her heart. And they said, we don't even know how this woman lived, because her heart had been pierced by something. The reality of heaven is so real that it will brand you in the physical, even though you can only feel it in the spirit. The things that you receive in the spirit and the revelation that you begin to feast on will so transform and transfigure your life that you'll begin to look like Jesus. That's why Paul said, I live and move and have my being inside of Christ. To live inside of Jesus is to live in the reality of heaven, to breathe that rarefied air of the Spirit and never grow tired or weary or wondering where His presence was, because His presence fills the very atmosphere of your life, and the Holy Spirit is that air that you're breathing and sustaining you from day to day. Not even the physical food that you're eating can sustain you in the way that the Holy Spirit and the presence of God can. That's why a man like Brother Young could go 81 days without eating any food and drinking any water, yet his body is being sustained by fellowship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and eating spiritual food out of heaven, and his body begins to take on such the resemblance of Jesus that on the 81st day when they came in to beat him, they no longer saw Brother Young, but they saw the face of Jesus on him. Is this too deep for Sunday morning? Is this okay? The body of Christ is not the building in which we sit in. I love church. It's a reality. Paul said, do not forsake assembling together. We recognize that there's strength in the body. But the body of Jesus is that physical and spiritual body that we can enter into and not just say we're a part of the body of Christ, but actually be in it. The beautiful thing about God is that He isn't just spirit. He is a body. And Jesus forever clothed Himself with humanity, and even now is sitting on the throne in a glorified state, yet in a physical human body, because He wanted to be clothed with you. Oh, man. Look at this in Job chapter. I want you to turn to Job chapter 4. Job chapter 4. If you're watching online this morning, I pray that this revelation would go through this camera right into your home, and that there would be an impartation of the intimacy of the Spirit of God that would so encapsulate your body that you would be enraptured with Him, that you would begin to feel what it's like to be inside of Christ. Thomas said, I won't believe unless I touch His side and feel the imprints in His hands. Christ wants you to come so inside of Him that Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews that He made a new and living way, tearing the veil so that we could enter into His side, into the very holiest of holies. Job said in verse 13, he said, in thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me in trembling, which made my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, and the hair on my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. The image was before my eyes. There I was silent, and I heard a voice. Job started to talk about how he was spending time in the presence of God and got caught up into visions. Visions that went beyond his natural eye, and he began to see in the Spirit. And the presence of God came so strong that even the hair on his arms and his body began to stand straight up. That the flesh in his physical body began to tremble and shake at the presence of God. Whew. That the presence of God became so strong in the place geographically where he was at, that he was fearing and shaking and trembling, although he didn't even see a form. Yet he knew that there was a spirit, the Spirit of God, that had entered into the room and was standing before him. All he could hear was a voice. Oftentimes, when you're in the presence of God, God doesn't necessarily come at first in a physical form, but begins to speak to you in your inner man, in your innermost of your spirit, and begins to draw you out of the place of the flesh and into an intimate conversation with Him. An intimate conversation with Him that attracts you to a deeper intimacy. Because the words that He's speaking unto you are spirit and they are life. And every word that He's releasing to you is bringing a life that you didn't even know was available until He began to speak it to you. It's so beautiful that you could be in a closet or in a chair in your lounge, and the presence of God could invade that space to such a degree that that chair is no longer in the earth. That room that you're standing in is no longer a room in the physical earth, but now it's a place in the heavenly realms. To walk with God up and down and to and fro in the Spirit. To be like Enoch. To be like Adam, walking with God in the cool of the day, where His words come and find you, and the mysteries of those words are revealed. The things that are secret, that are mysterion, are mysteries, suddenly become revelations that you understand. And the perception of standing in the counsel of God and hearing His voice gives you the ability to bring what you heard in the unseen realm into this reality, so that what you speak has weight upon it, so that the natural time and chronological system that is on the earth has to change by the very words that you're speaking, because they trump natural chronological time, and they are words that are eternal in weight, and they bear such a heaviness upon them that it breaks the mainframe and the system of the world to form and fashion the eternal manifestation of what God intended for that moment in history and time. God is looking for the body of Christ in the earth to begin to recognize who they are in Him, and that reality that you could actually hear the Word of God, receive that word, feast on that word, live on that word, and reveal that word on the earth and change history. Become a glory carrier, not just in word, but in deed. You can always tell the substance of a man's life and the relationship with God by the physical manifestations that they have. It isn't just stories, but it's manifestations that reveal the glory that has been placed upon someone. You listening to me this morning? It's not just having a good story about going to heaven. It's the weight upon the words and what they're speaking and the manifestations that they're bringing that reveal to you whether they've actually been there or not.
Right. Come on.
It's quiet in this Baptist church. No, I'm kidding. Hallelujah. I hear a lot of people talk about, I've been to heaven, I went to do this, and I've been in the heavenly realms, but there's no weight upon their words, and there's no manifestations. Manifestation reveals the reality of the place that you've been. When we're walking with Christ in heavenly places, and we're living and moving and having our being in Him, the reality of heaven begins to be so manifested through your physical body that the unrational, illogical things that people believe could never happen suddenly become logical and begin to manifest because you're not bound by the system and the laws and regulations of the earth. So you have the ability to create things out of nothing. Because you're not using physical substance, you're using presence to create. The more time that you spend in the presence of God, the more the density of the glory begins to come. You understand density? Density is what gives something weight. The density of molecules in this awesome name badge that says my name on it, Charlie Champ, the closeness of the particles in this particular piece of paper give it its weight. Because the density of these particular particles is further apart, it makes it lighter. Unlike this table right here, which the density of that solid object, the particles are closer. So it gives it a greater weight. There is an understanding of the universal presence of God, where God is everywhere all the time. But the more that we draw into God, and the more we turn aside to see Him, and the more that we begin to walk in step with Him, the density of the Spirit begins to come. And the weight of that reality becomes more real than the air that we're breathing. Because that presence is more. And the person of the presence is more real than the conversations that you have with people in the earth. Job started to walk into a place where he said, God, I don't want to live in the reality that I'm seeing right now. I want to enter into a place of visions. I want to enter into a place of the unseen because my reality in this moment in time is not what you called me to live in. You've not called me to live in this place, but you called me to live in the unseen because this realm that I'm living in right now is full of turmoil, chaos, and destruction. But I know that if I get into the visionary manifestations of heaven, then the things that I'm pondering and seeing will become realities and change the physical world that I live in. And so Job began to wait upon God hour after hour, moving into visions, wanting to perceive God's voice, understand what He's saying so that his reality will change to reflect the manifestation of heaven. Hallelujah. Whew. Holy Spirit. Whew. Lift your hands this afternoon. Oh, Holy Spirit. Let your presence come like a weight in here. Let the density of your presence increase. Let your kingdom begin to be increased in this place. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you that the burdens of this life will begin to fade in this room. And Lord, I ask you that this afternoon you would begin to reveal the revelation of the unseen and begin to implant it into every person in this meeting. A divine catching up. A place of intimate fellowship. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you that you would begin to stand still. Stand still over your people. Let the presence of God begin to inebriate them. I told you last night that when Jesus comes in an open heaven, he will begin to open his hand and give you a drink of his wine. This wine comes so that you begin to see another reality. You begin to look at another place. The more that you drink of the presence of God, the more that that realm will come into view. The more that this reality will begin to fade as you drink of his presence. Jesus will come to you like honey. He'll come to you like fire. He'll come to you like wine. He'll come and take away every single burden that you have in the natural, and he will wash it away. He will remove it off of you, and he'll begin to release upon you his presence. As we drink of his presence, the thickness like honey begins to come. The cloud of despair begins to be whisked away, and the cloud of his presence, what I call the fog of God, begins to come. The fire, the oil, and the glory of God. That mystical reality that Isaiah wrote about and said, who are these who fly like clouds, like doves to their windows? Who are these who fly like clouds? And who are these that are lifted above and begin to reflect the very glory, begin to look like the cloud of glory? Who are these who fly like doves? Who are these that go to the open window of heaven and begin to enter in? Who are these that begin to look so much like the dove of the Spirit that they can't tell the difference between the dove of the Spirit and the people of the Spirit? This is what happened to Enoch. He began to walk like a cloud walker in the Spirit and begin to see from a different reality. I feel this morning that I want to pray for you. I want to pray for people that are desiring a deeper intimate relationship in the sense of their prayer life. That you're saying, Brother Charlie, I understand what you're saying, but I don't live in that reality. I don't live in that unseen realm. I desire it, but I have other things. You know, it's interesting that the Bible says that Enoch walked 65 years of his life, and then he had a son named Methuselah, and then he walked another 300 years with God. What you say, well, why is that interesting? Because he was able, although he had a family and he had responsibility, yet it did not stop him from the reality of living in the presence of God. that nothing took him out of the presence, even though in the natural he had physical responsibilities and a family to take care of. This morning I want to pray that God would begin to draw you into such fellowship with him that when you go to pray and you begin to commune with the Holy Spirit, that like Job, he will stand and he will come in different forms and in different ways. The more that you spend time with him, you'll begin to feel different realms and different images of Christ's nature and his love for you in that moment. God wants to extravagantly pour out love that you've never felt before, beyond this world, beyond this realm, beyond what you can see. Love that a person cannot give to you. Only God can give to you. If that's you this morning, I just want you to come to the front. I want to pray for you. I want to lay hands on you. I want to impart this to you. If you're watching online this morning, God wants to release this impartation of walking in the mystery of the unseen, the reality of heaven to you. And Father, I ask you that this morning that you would begin to release that now. You would begin to release that weight of your glory. You would begin to release that weight of your presence. You would begin to release that weight of your power into him, into them, into her, into them, right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Let that glory begin to just saturate people's homes. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you that this morning that you would allow that saturation of the cloud of mystery to come into this meeting. The mystics called it the cloud of mystery, the revelation of the unseen. Holy Spirit, I ask you that you would begin to impart that into them this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask you that you would begin to draw them into a greater reality, that you would begin to lift them above. Just lift your hands just right now, Holy Spirit. Let it begin to come on them right now. Hula masundre ke nele brusta. Breve le mronde le vike le vlo frato le stiamo. Calevronde le calestusta le profe le calevriti amo cule fravatia. Blevron blevelo vrande le viste che doronde tista la. Hora ma cole le mestundri vola le custi. Colesti calemostusta semola. So wind begin to blow. Holy Spirit, let your wind begin to blow in this place. Let the wind begin to blow over their soul, over their spirit. Sembrevo tele londa e vistundareva folla li aconda. Lembramba che le brife le frofle le fro che le fristi le frofla calane. Zembrovi che la maha.